So here we are. It is another episode of Dualistic Unity Raw, and it's Sunday morning. Andrew's now been in town since Wednesday, somewhere like that.
Wednesday.
He's been here for a little bit, is what I'm saying. And we've had some time to actually hang out and shoot the shit. And it's been nice because it hasn't been in a retreat kind of environment, and it hasn't been with that intention to be like, hey, I'm coming to town and we're gonna get to know each other because we've never met and we have all kinds of assumptions. There's none of that shit, and it's just like, hey, we know each other, it's kind of weird, let's just hang the fuck out. So we have been, and in that we've gone through numerous different, you know, situations and whatnot. We've gone to lunch, we've checked out some apartments for Andrew, we've met some people, we've talked to some people, we've heard some stories. And I'm bringing all of this up because, you know, it's really funny because for me, I talk about God, and I talk about awareness and the universe and unity and the experience of being yourself and the reality of connection. And I talk about all this stuff while at the same time looking at religion and belief as being one of the worst things for humanity. And yet, if you're listening to what I'm saying, it sounds very religious. It sounds very spiritual. I sound very devout. Like when you talk to me as a person, you start to realize I'm a little on the extreme side in terms of just throwing caution to the wind, in terms of having faith in myself, and in terms of encouraging you to have faith in yourself or anyone. When you talk to me, there's definitely an impression, but that impression isn't ever one of, oh, you know, I have to carry the burden for everyone because I have no burden myself. And so it's a really selfless thing that I'm doing. I don't do any of that. I'm just having a fucking blast. I'm having a blast. And when we talk to people like we did this weekend who recently received news that they might have cancer, or we talk to somebody at the bar during karaoke who's going through an emotional moment as she realizes that somebody else is in the bar that was part of a toxic breakup in the past, and they're immediately coming and expressing these things to us. And in that, we're just there with them. And they feel better, not because we're trying to make them feel better, but because we're just listening without any degree of preference, without any fear for them, right? Just happy to be a part of whatever it is they're processing. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. And as you may have noticed over the last few days, it's effortless. It takes nothing. It takes nothing because you are already living your life. What's the harm? And so the reason I bring this up is because to know me as a person is to recognize that, again, it's not that I'm necessarily fanatical about it, but I'm certainly committed to the recognition that all of this illusion really is divisive just because I hold on to it. And so I always find it funny when I run across people who, by the very title that they assume, have decided, I'm here to represent God. I'm here to do good in Jesus's name. I am here to minister the people. And what's interesting is that there's no joy in it. There's no joy in it. And I'm bringing this up because of a video that I showed you yesterday of a Catholic priest discussing what it's like for him to be a priest. And given everything that I've just said, and the tone, and what you know about me, people, anybody who's met me, anybody who's listened to me long enough or just been to a group, you all know I'm not carrying around some fucking weight. It's not that it's not potentially there, but I'm not carrying it. This is the best thing I could be doing with my life. I don't care if I'm listening to a person going through the hardest thing possible. I am so very appreciative that I can be there for that person because I know they're me. There's no weight that goes with that. So I'm going to pass this over to Andrew first, and then I'm going to play that fucking video.
Yeah. Well said, because that's all you got to do. And if you're embodying it, if you're being it, if you're talking to yourself all the time, then there isn't any weight because there's not this spectrum that you got to live up to. There's not this bar you got to live up to in any situation. Like, there isn't a right way to express yourself. But if you think you're, you know, there's some intent that you can do something for someone else. It's like, it's passing off that experience of just being it and thinking that you have to wear some sort of emotion or feeling because of it for someone else. You don't. And just being yourself isn't going to have the response that everyone wants, you know, but it's for you. And at least it's fulfilling in yourself. And that's the end. And then there isn't a need to be with anyone else, but there isn't the, you know, need to get something from anyone else, or fear of losing something from someone else, hoping for some degree of, you know, adoration or something, you know, hoping for anything. You don't have to hope for anything if you're just being yourself. You're good. You know, if you're enthusiastic and embodying it and know that you're just always talking to yourself and interacting with yourself, then all of these assumptions about, you know, oh, me looking a certain way, me acting a certain way, me, oh, I can't, you know, share this or express this or, you know, talk about this or express insecurities that I'm going through because it means something about me. But if I'm just talking to myself, then there isn't this, you know, you can bring this up, you can't bring this up, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about this. Oh, this thing, that's just a, you know, such a random thing. You can't bring up talking about how this glove has been sitting on this pillow, but it's just a single glove. And I've kind of been wondering since the other day why there's just a single glove on the pillow, but its friend's got to be somewhere, right? Unless maybe you just
have no promise. There's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee of that either. And so if you are just talking to yourself, then there isn't really a hesitation necessarily, because you know that if someone else is talking, you're just hearing yourself too. And there's nothing you can do for them besides just be with them, because you know it's you going through it, and you don't know what the best thing for them to go through is, or the best way for them to go through something is. So, you know, for you to get in there and assume that, you know, you can do something to help them ever is just an assumption.
But imagine you do know that. Imagine that's exactly what you're thinking. Like, I know the right thing for this person because I know I'm on the right path because I identify with that path. So now all of a sudden you're coming to that person and you're not listening to them. You're not actually allowing them to process. You're coming in and going, great, but have you thought of Jesus? Right? And so you're met with the, sometimes you'll meet people who'll be like, no, I haven't. Please give me something to fucking hold on to. But other times you're going to have people go, the fuck are you talking about? Like, why do I need to believe in Jesus? Why can't I just work with my life right now? And it seems so out of place that these people are ridiculed. These people are shunned. These people are rejected. Well, why? Because it's not organic. They're trying to take something and shove something down somebody else's throat for their own reasons. For their own reasons. And then when you say no thank you, they're like, oh, well, you know, you'll find Jesus one day, and they convince themselves that you're going to suffer if you don't. So that said, let's play the video.
It's a terrible thing to be a priest.
Hold on, we have no speakers here. Give us a second, people. Technical difficulties. Let's make him
real emotional.
Let's make him the big guy on the screen here, because you know that's how he likes it. All right.
It's a terrible thing to be a priest. It's beautiful, you know, in some sense. I wouldn't change it. You love it, but there's, you have to die. It's terrible. It's not a career. It's something you just bear, you know, in a good way with Christ, because you're entering into that in some small way, because the priesthood is Christ's. And so, you know, it's a fearful thing to be a priest. It's really a fearful thing. God help us. God help us. We're men, you know, men who make mistakes. Hopefully we're upholding church teaching as best we can. If you want to be a priest, then you have to be ready to suffer. Because you have to suffer with Christ for your people and for the world around you. You know, and then you have to love. And you have to try to love as best you can. And that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. And there's so many temptations, you know. There's so many temptations for priests to really pray for them. But if you're doing it, it's not a career. It's not a career. In fact, if you want a career, it's the worst career choice you could ever make in your whole life. So don't do that. It has to be life. And sometimes all you have is Christ. And you're stripped down to almost nothing. And left with only Christ. And you have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for that. You have to be ready to be rejected. You have to be ready to be persecuted. You have to be ready to love when people don't love you. You have to be ready to forgive when forgiveness is not given to you. You have to be ready to be slandered. You have to be ready to be spoken ill of. You have to be ready to be mocked. You have to be ready. All Christians do, but in some sense, in a more potent way, the priest has to.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in for that. Now that we've witnessed that, I'd like to discuss it a little. anybody who has a comment on that, please leave it in the comment section here, because we do appreciate your feedback, your thoughts, and all of that stuff. But let's start from the beginning. It's a terrible thing to be a priest. Oh, that doesn't seem to be showing up. Hold up.
Why is he doing it?
Well, why? Like, that seems weird.
To get to heaven, I guess.
Right? At the end. But it's just like, why is it a terrible thing? Like, you're supposed to be the epitome of connecting. So we're going to talk over this guy now as he continues to speak. So we appreciate you tuning in for the commentary.
It's a terrible thing to be a priest. It's beautiful, you know, in some sense. I wouldn't change it. You love it, but you have to die. It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's a beautiful thing. You love it, but it's terrible.
Yeah. Because he thinks he's giving things up.
And then later on, he's like, it's a beautiful thing. It's a fearful thing. It's like, well, why? And the only reason is because you're clutching to something that's fictional.
Yeah.
Like, everything this guy is talking about is quite literally the consequence of holding on to a fiction and having people going, you know, that's fictional. And you're like, but I got to hold on to it. You're stripping me all down. You're stripping me down at all I've got. All I've got is this belief. And it's just like, holy shit.
Oh, you know,
it's
man.
Brutal. And that's why he's like, it's a beautiful thing and it's a terrible thing. It's a beautiful thing because occasionally other suckers will come in here where I can convince them to listen to me so I can feel a little better about that's this it. Otherwise terrible thing that everybody rejects and ridicules me for.
But he gets that little hit as they come by, right?
Oh my God.
Convince him a little bit.
Like, it's the self-importance that goes with this. Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. And it gets better towards the end.
Not a career. It's something you just bear, you know, in a good way with Christ.
I just wanted to mention, it's not a career. It's something you just bear is eventually how most people feel about pretty much every career.
Yeah,
right. It's just like, I've just done this so long, it's just a fucking lifestyle. Don't do it.
Yeah,
you know. And it's like, because
they stay focused on the one thing instead of seeing everything as just an expression of yourself. He thinks he has to do something to be a good priest, you know. It's like, if we don't have that idea of what something is and we're just being ourselves, then there isn't, you know, the burden to it at all.
Let's continue on.
Because you're entering into that in some small way. Because the priesthood is Christ's. And
boom. Because the priesthood is Christ's.
Of course.
So it's not theirs. It's not coming from them. It's not their message. It's not their insight. It's not their anything. It's Christ. They are representing. And so of course they feel isolated. Of course they feel limited. Of course they can't express everything. There are whole realms they can't get into because the priesthood is Christ's.
And so there's rules, there's some way to do it, there's a right way to be a priest that isn't him, you know. It's not him, so he's immediately disconnected from just authentic expression. Enthusiasm. You can't be enthusiastic.
Do you see any enthusiasm trying to be here? Oh my God. I don't know if he's going to be okay to get through this interview.
I don't know.
So, you know, it's a fearful thing to be a priest. It's really a fearful thing. God help.
It's really a fearful thing. I love that. It's a beautiful thing to be a priest. It's really a fearful thing. Yeah. Holy shit.
Like, what's he afraid of?
I know, exactly. Right? God help us. Like, aren't you here to be God's,
representative? God. He's making God have to sound like a prison warden.
I am not feeling confident in the management.
Boss, God help us. We're men, you know, men who make mistakes. Hopefully we're upholding church teaching as best we can. If you want it.
You're making, dude.
Well, but it's like, Ryan, why are you judging yourself for that? Exactly. Like, you seem to be really hard on yourself for making mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be okay, man. Holy shit.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Let me be a priest. Then you have to be ready to suffer.
But he uses
because you have to suffer with Christ.
Because you have to suffer with Christ. Dude, you are not up on a cross. Nobody's nailing shit into you. You're not being whipped.
No.
There's none of that happening. And outside of that, from all accounts, the story of Jesus is that he's a pretty chill dude, having a good time. So it just seems like a weird that you have to suffer with Christ. It's like he's not here. You're suffering on your own, man.
Just you, buddy. Just you.
For your people. And for the world around you.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then you have...
Can somebody please bring this man a medal now? Just bring him some kind of trophy.
Up on that pedestal. High on that pedestal.
Love. And you have to try to love as best you can. And that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. And there's...
Why? Why is it a hard thing outside of the giant division that you see between you and everyone else? Like, it's a hard thing to love everyone. No, it's not. It's the simplest thing in the world. It means just not building up ideas between you and them. Oh, wait, you're Catholic.
And immediately, there's a nice fat wall. And as soon as it's God, there's a separate God, too. Yeah.
Well, and judgments.
Yeah.
Like, all of God's judgments, he's even said it. He's like, you know, it's Christ's church. You know, I'm making mistakes. I got to follow the law. I've got to follow the rules of Christianity. It's like, holy Christ. Like, no wonder you're never happy. No wonder you're in pain. Like, this sounds terrible. And to be locked up in a building where other people are coming to you and none of your shit works for you when you're trying to convince them it works for them. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It's gnarly.
So many temptations, you know.
Oh,
so many temptations.
That
is, why is he calling them temptations too? Because he's judging himself.
And they're not allowed. And they're not allowed.
And it's passing off responsibility for just looking at him and being like, why would I want to do that temptation? Like,
what is he talking about there? You know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Right?
Like,
why can't you do those things?
Who's it detrimental to? To his odds of getting to heaven.
Which is ruining his time in heaven. Think about, this is such a painful thing to watch. Yeah. Like, this dude is suffering, and he's obviously suffering by his own religion. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is if you find this video on TikTok, the comment section is, wow, I never think I should be praying for my priest. They're really doing all of God's work. It's
my God.
Wow, you're really not getting it. God's not toiling.
Mm-mm.
That seems fucking weird. Like, you're the most limited God, period. Like, it's just like, God, everything's so hard for me. I am everything, but it's so hard. I need my humans to help me. Oh my God.
Pray for me. Pray for me. Give him better odds to get up to.
Pray for God.
For priests to really pray for them. But if you're doing it, it's not a career. In fact, if you want a career, it's the worst career choice you could ever make in your whole
life. Yeah, except for the fact you get a free house to live in and your expenses are paid for and you don't pay fucking taxes.
And everyone appreciates you as you go into church. And it's like,
oh, you're up on a pedestal the whole time. Sounds like a tough gig, man.
Yeah. Like, what exactly is the really, really tough part? Well, I guess that he thinks he's sacrificing a bunch of things, but he's the one doing it for his own reason, too. So,
yeah. Fuck. Hold on one second.
So don't do that. It has to be life.
Okay, stop right now. It's like it's suffering. So don't do that. But follow me.
Follow me through suffering to eternal salvation.
Oh my God.
Well, because they assume that this life is suffering. Because it's not heaven.
He's definitely making it hard.
And so he's like par for the course right there, based on, you know, the assumption that this is just the test. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't it right now. Like we're getting to something.
It
we're
is proving amazing. Ourselves. Like all of that burden is his. Mm-hmm. All of it. It's all him. Like, it's just, it's amazing to see that he doesn't see it because he's too busy tending to a concept of Christ's ministry.
Oh, God. And sometimes all you have is Christ, and you're stripped down to almost nothing and left with only Christ.
Okay. See, right there, that's almost painful to me. Because the stripping down, almost everybody listening to this podcast can understand that process of stripping yourself down, just going through questioning. But he's not stripping that down. He's holding on to it. He's holding on to Christ. He's holding on to the idea of himself in the ministry of Christ. He's holding on to the whole relationship between him and God and everyone else. And so there's no stripping down here. What he's talking about in terms of like rejection and not having forgiveness and all that stuff is just people going, stop pushing your shit on me.
Yeah. Yeah, straight up.
That's all it is.
Yeah. It's just passing off that stuff. And so if you strip down, but then you're still holding on to all of it, then it's just kind of like you're a little more aware of it, but it's not really the freedom. It's not the experience of it. It's just all you can do is talk about it at that point.
See, he's not talking about stripping down the ego. He's talking about feeling embarrassed. He's talking about like feeling his ego diminished. That's what he's talking about, being torn down, being stripped down. He's talking about his ego being ripped down. And then he keeps building it back up with this idea of Christ. And it's like, just leave it down.
Yeah.
Just fucking leave it down. Just stop defending that shit and let it go.
Seriously. Because all you got to, if you just stop taking yourself so seriously, it's like you're not living up to something anymore, because it's just your own shit. It's his own shit that he's saying is someone else's, saying it's the church's, saying it's Christ's that he's living up to, but he's just doing it because then he can say if he's living up to it, then he's doing a good job. He just wants to feel good about how he's doing.
Well, let's listen to the rest of himself soothing.
And you have to be ready for that. You have to be ready to be rejected. You have to be ready to be persecuted. You have to
being
be ready
a priest
to love when people don't love you. You have to be ready to forgive.
Isn't that always the case?
When forgiveness is not given to you.
But and it's
who,
so.
And who are you forgiving?
Oh my God.
But
and
the love of.
What? Like, and what do you want forgiveness for outside of, again, pushing your shit on someone?
Well, and he's saying you got to be ready to love when people don't love you. Like the assumption that this is going to make everyone love you.
Well, doesn't God love everyone? Yeah. Aren't we all God? Like, there's so many contradictions in that.
Yeah.
People don't love me. Really? Like, everybody loves you. Everybody loves you, listener. Hello. Everybody loves you. When they get out of their way, when they stop thinking about themselves, they're able to relax, have a comfortable space. Not a comfortable space, but a space where they can feel like they can be themselves. Mm-hmm. You will notice that people have no issue with you at all. And that's the reality of love. It's not an overt action, because that's something else, right? Mm-hmm. That's a show of affection. But actual love is just to accept you as you are without precondition. And we can never do that until we accept ourselves as we are without precondition. And that is the reality of love. And once you get out of your way, you recognize it's not that people don't love you. It's that they're caught up in their own shit. They're suffering. They're going through things. And I think it's so funny that this guy has his head so far up his fucking Christian asshole that he's suffering all the time. That's all he's seeing in everyone else.
Yeah.
All he's seeing in everyone else is the pain that he witnesses in himself every day.
And so he assumes that they must need help only because he wants to, and he uses that to feel better about himself.
For sure. And wouldn't that annoy the shit out of you as a person? You'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah. Assuming.
I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like Justin. Yeah. Right? It's all about forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness. It's like, get off your fucking high horse. Yeah. Stop thinking that you have any judgments that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be ready to be slandered. You have to be ready to be spoken ill of. You have to be ready to be mocked.
Well, I just want to mention, I hope he sees this clip.
You have to be ready. All Christians do, but in some sense, in a more potent way, the priest has to.
Oh, there it is.
There's that self-importance.
There it is. That's what I wanted to see, living right up to my expectations.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because he's playing that role of being the embodiment.
He didn't want to fuck up his flock there. Did you notice? He's just like, you know, you really have to suffer. All Christians do.
Yeah.
Like all the people who believe in me, right? They're important too. And if you're watching this, don't forget, I love you. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. But especially me. Yeah. Especially me. Yeah. And I just want to say, like, the contrast between what I've experienced in my life in terms of the reality of letting go, the reality of not identifying, the reality of just being yourself, all that stuff, is so contradictory to what that man is describing. Like, it is the exact opposite. I walk around talking to everybody. I don't care if they like me or not. I don't, and I'm just as happy to just go, all right, you're kind of a dick. You know, but there's no lack of love there. You can identify that somebody's being, you know, cantankerous. You can identify, you know, that somebody is acting in a certain way without identifying them as that way. Mm-hmm. Right? You just go, you're in a bad day. All right, I'm going to fuck off and let it go. But that's the point. You're letting it go. Why are you letting it go? Because otherwise you're just adding to everyone's burden. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Because then it's your perspective too, that you're trying to hold on to this, you know, way of acting and experience where it's like, why would I need everyone to like me? Why would I want everyone to like me? And what exactly am I trading for that? Like, am I going to trade being myself and like not holding up this bar for myself for to get what, a couple more people to like what I'm doing or not dislike what I'm doing or, you know, not judge as opposed to just like, you know, because I'll see someone going through stuff and like not judge them at all.
You mean they're not making a mistake in your Lord and Savior's eyes?
No, at all. Like ever. But, you know, I assume I can. And if he, you know, if the priest assumes that he can make mistakes and like fuck shit up and like do things wrong because he has all of these ideas of the right way to act, the right way to live that's given to us. And then it's like, if we're on this path, like setting this bar of the right way to be, and then it getting reinforced by, you know, the church and everything that you do. And then it's being taught to everyone else. It's like, that's a whole lot of bar to hold up to. It's like, and nothing's on the table at that point besides, oh, well, it's like you're walking on eggshells all the time, as opposed to just, you know, wandering around like without so much of a need to get anyone anywhere, because then it's like there's some intent, you know, there's some sense of a right way to do that. And then it's like you kind of get pulled out of just being here.
Yeah,
you know.
For sure. No, it's definitely oh my god, it's so very interesting. By the way, just wanted to mention, shout out to Polysporin for existing. Mm. I don't know if the expiry date matters, but I used you anyway.
Probably doesn't. I feel like those gel things usually last a while. Is that for your thumb?
Yeah. Yeah. One of those moments. And again, it's important to pay attention to what you're doing. We went out drinking the other night to karaoke, and we didn't drink a lot. I'm proud to say, I mean, no hangover, relatively decent buzz.
Yeah.
Right. But that said, you are drinking. Yeah. And so there's a little less in terms of reaction time. And so, yeah, I went to cut a bagel after drinking when I got home, and I mistook my thumb for the bagel. And what was funny is I was watching it, and I went, that's not the bagel. And it stopped, which I was very excited about, but just in time. So this has been an interesting lesson, again, just paying attention. I'm not going to go, oh, God, I made another mistake. God hates me. Like, it's just so funny to me. There's so much weight And yet, there doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. But imagine being locked up in a little box, you know, in the little, in God's house. You know, it's like, ugh, yuck. I want to address, by the way, I think this is important. Hold on a second. The idea that a priesthood's not a fucking career, fuck that. And I mean that sincerely, because you need to go to university, okay, to get your bachelor's at least. Okay, I think you also need a master's. Okay. Then you have to go to seminary school. So not only are you going to university, but then you're going to seminary for additional schooling for like another 4 years or more. Okay. Tell me that's not a career path.
It sounds like a career.
It's a career path. They get paid.
Yeah.
Right? They get paid. They had a house. They get a house, man.
But like, they get looked at by people as being some messenger.
Word.
It's just like a doctor being looked at in a certain way, and it's just like a different schooling system. Like, there isn't anything about being closer to God besides, like, you know, reading some books, and that's like the line that we draw that makes him closer.
Oh, but he lives like the most sterile life. Yeah. Like, it would suck, especially like, so let's picture this. You go through your high school years, you know, you get to college, you're picking a career path, and maybe you grew up Christian, you're like, this seems like a good choice, and you invest in it, and you go with it, and you start doing all that. And of course, first, you're a 20-year-old dude, more than likely, right? Not always a dude, just wanted to mention it. I know some female priests, depending on—
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it depends on the branch of Christianity.
Okay.
For sure. Lutheranism has no problem with women priests at all. Anyway, point is, you go through your early 20s, you're in college, you're in university, maybe you go out with your friends from time to time, but again, probably Christian.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of a buzzkill from the start, but you know, you get a little bit of a feel for life.
Yeah.
Right? And it inspires you to continue on and want to minister to the people, fucking, you know, get that shit in there. So you do that. And then 20 years later, you realize you've never really done anything. That you are talking to people who are coming in worse to tell you about their quote unquote sins, which is really just their fucking bomb ass parties and shit. Like, in a lot of ways, like, man, I'm so sorry. I cheated on my girlfriend with these two other girls. And the priest is like, I've never had sex ever. Nobody's ever touched my ding dong because God hates me. Like, it's just, I gotta love you. I gotta give up, you know, ding dong love, so that way I can be God's minister. And meanwhile, you're just like, you know, what the fuck am I doing this for?
Yeah.
And so you're being stripped down, like all this stuff. You're like, I can't be experiencing any of that. No wonder there's temptation.
Yeah.
No wonder there's so many pedophiles when it comes to the priesthood.
Yeah.
Right? Because again, like, who else are they exposed to? Not only can you not go out and party, not only can you not go out and participate in drugs or just be a normal fucking person, but then you got to get, you know, you're running daycares and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you're running Sunday school groups. Yeah. You're talking to people who are again coming. Like, holy Christ.
It's a very unique experience. Oh. Yeah. And all you're hearing are stories about life. Mostly you're not actually living them, because you're going from, you know, your little house and whatever you're doing, and sometimes maybe getting dinner with someone here and there with a family from the, you know, from the church, and then you're leading masses. Someone probably leads stuff every day,
and
then,
it's not even your shit.
No,
that's the worst part.
Someone else's.
Yeah.
So no wonder it's more of a stale fucking existence, because there's no life to it. Like, there's very little experience.
Dude, you'd feel like you were living 2,000 years in the past all the time.
Yeah, straight up. But like, we don't need, it's just like, oh, that's the role that they chose, and someone's got to be a priest. You know, someone's got to. And even that, like, does there have to be
a priest? Of course not.
Of course not. Because like, even the thought of like, okay, like, what if people did have church without a priest? They'd be like, well, then who's gonna, you know, say all the words throughout church, and who's gonna be able to follow? And you know, they've been taught that and they're closer to God, and like,
great question.
You gotta have some sort of leader. But what if everyone just showed up to church, and then just different people got up and said things, talked about things they were going through, dealing with? Like, you know, that seems like a much more
reasonable way. What if people just didn't?
Well, that too.
Yeah. You know, actually spent time actually just talking to one another.
Yeah.
And we had this great conversation the other day, because we were talking about how, as you let go of thinking about yourself and trying to fit in and worrying about how people perceive you and doing that whole thing, your dialogue starts to change with everybody. All of a sudden, the superficiality Yeah. Starts to fade away. You're not so interested in the, you know, fantasy sports league. You're not so interested in which new car they're going to get, or the fact that, you know, there's a new Tesla, or what Elon said. Like, none of that shit really gets you to the same degree. And so you end up finding yourself having slightly deeper conversations, but they're not really deeper conversations. Yeah. You are just seeing things on a slightly more nuanced, you know, level than most people tend to look at, because they're just speeding by. Right. So all of a sudden people are talking about superficial things and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And you're listening to what they're really saying to you. And then you're responding to them in a way that's not making them feel like they brought up something that's irrelevant, but that there is more to it, that there's something about them in there.
Yeah.
Right. And then a lot of times people don't realize that. And you're not doing anything. That's the funniest part. Like, you're not ministering them by talking to them about existing. You know, but that's the conversation we never have. We never have a conversation just about our relationship with existence. You know, we always default that to our relationship with God, right? Mm-hmm. But it's our relationship with existing as a whole is not something we talk about. And that's where we start to have the conversation about fear, the response to fear, the need for control, identity, this fiction of me, comparison, all that stuff. And that's where that conversation comes from. But if you're not having that conversation of existence, you never get to that shit unless you're talking about psychology, and then psychology is just trying to get you through the negatives.
Just trying to avoid the suffering instead of actually being happy, because like that's what most of us, a lot of people are doing, is just trying to avoid suffering, not recognizing that, you know, the intensity of just being where you're at. And like, I'd say intensity, but it's also, you know, equated with relaxation. It's like, it's not this thing that's numb at all. It's like incredibly up and down, but it's always my response, you know, to whatever that is that dictates, because there is sort of an underlying, you know, smoothness to it, relaxation to it. And you had a nice run there talking about something. And now I'm like, oh, what? I had so many thoughts.
That's all right.
As you were going through.
No idea.
Yeah.
That's the nice part about it. You see right there, it's like, God's abandoned me. Where are the words? It's like, it's done. You said them. You've done your thing. Like, yeah. This is just it. There's no burden there. Yeah. There's no burden there. Want to switch gears, actually, because this is important. Play.
Yeah.
Right, that man has no play in his life. Like that was painful to watch. Like I felt really bad. Like I thought he might just break down a few times just trying to get through that interview.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that this is it's not a new thing, but it's definitely catching on in the Christian world, because you could take that guy and put him side by side with a clip of Jordan Peterson talking about his relationship with God. I'm pretty sure they cry at pretty much the same moments.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for sure. There's very much a, it's so hard to be so righteous. Yeah. My God, you don't know the weight I have to bear in being better than you.
You don't understand. Oh, my God. It's so heavy.
But that said, you know, like we have groups all the time, and people come and they talk about, you know, some shit that they're going through. They're not always happy groups. They're not always groups where, you know, we're just like, yeah, life's awesome. Sometimes they're groups and we're like, fuck, you know, life can be kind of a fucking meat grinder, but, you know, thank God I'm invincible meat, you know, like that kind of thing. And so it's nice, but I guess where I'm going with this is that despite all of that, there's no burden that goes with it. And we love what we do because there is no burden, you know, and I can't imagine a better way for God or the universe or reality to truly express itself and minister to all of its parts than in the most relaxed, natural way possible. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost seems like that's what's happening as nature continues to provide for everyone without actually going out of its way to go, look at me, I'm providing for you. So it's almost like there's a template there. But that said, I brought this up because we now have a new segment that we are doing on Dualistic Unity called Being Music. It's exciting to me because we've teamed up with Trish and Jeff Horrocks over at Fidelium. Amazing people. And Jeff sat down with us this weekend to give us our very first music lesson. In terms of 12 tones, you know, we learned a little bit about middle C. We learned a little bit about major scales. fantastic conversation. So that episode's going to be coming out very shortly. Keep an eye out for it. We're going to be doing a lot more of these because this is about play. You know, if there's a language of the universe, we find it when we're playing. We find it when we're light. We find it when we're not carrying that burden, that idea of ourself, that judgment, that right way, all of that shit. And so we're going to share our own journey. For me, this is especially, I guess, personal to some degree, because this is something I've always told myself I have no skill at. This is something that, you know, a lot of my story implied that I could never do. And so this is an excellent opportunity for me to, you know, lesson by lesson by lesson, not even just lesson by lesson, but, you know, moments of practice to watch that shit come up and go, yeah, but, you know, this note, and just continue on. And that's really, that's all that this is. It's not about like, oh, I've got to deal with all my sins. There's just so much there. And so being music with Dualistic Unity is going to be a fucking blast. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, because we're not even trying to get really good really fast. I don't even have an idea of like there being a reason that I'm doing it. Like my whole life, I've always had a reason for doing something. Oh well, it's so I can learn, you know, these songs. Like when I started doing guitar, I didn't even learn guitar. I learned how to play songs on guitar. And so this series is just us like learning how to play piano, because then it's like that's what we take with us, that's what we can bring. It's not just like, oh, I need this song, I need this sheet music. You know, you can show up somewhere and kind of play around, and maybe you're not like there listening and you can play everything, but maybe you could listen to a couple things here and find that. And it's like it really feels like building, you know, from the ground. That was a nice crack there. Yeah, that sounded like a different spot than the spine. Was that the...
It's right back in the shoulder.
Oh, shit. Okay. Because, and like being able to go through stuff when you aren't taking yourself as seriously, there's more of an ability to kind of jump into anything and be willing to fall and stumble and, you know, fail even. But if you're not looking at it like there's an end point, then the thought of failure doesn't play in quite as much, because you see each step is just, this is the step that I'm on right now. It's like, oh, stumbling here. It's like, that's not indicative of anything at all about you. It's just like, that's what's happening right now. And then you can try again and try again and try again. And it starts to feel a lot like being a kid before, like remembering those times before you tied your value to how you did stuff. You know, because there was that sense of just doing stuff and trying things and, you know, stumbling, falling, messing up, but like seeing yourself getting better. Whereas as you grow up, a lot of times you think like, oh, well, if I can't do it well the first time, if I mess up the first time, it's too much, too embarrassing, too heavy to continue on. It's like, oh my gosh, like one try, two try, three tries max. And it's like, oh no, I can't do that. Meanwhile, it's like you just stick it out for a bit. It's like you'd be amazed, because, you know, as you go through things, you're changing. Each and every day, there's an opportunity to jump into something and like be uncomfortable. But that's when things are shifting. Like those discomforts are the things shifting and moving. So if you're like in the midst of a discomfort or a process where you feel like you're messing up a bunch and failing a bunch, it's like that twisting and turning and it's like reforming something. And then if you are halfway through that and you're like, oh, I don't know what's happening right now, I don't know what's going on, it's like that's you coming to, you know, yourself, and you don't have to panic through that.
Yeah,
because things are shifting.
Well, that's what I like. The episode, the first episode's fun because he's trying to teach us this pattern, and I'm like, this one, yeah, this one, yeah, this one, no. and it's just kind of fun, because then you're just like, all right, I'm not going to think about the fact that I didn't get that right, because that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is to go, why isn't that right? And just look at it and try and take it in and have that moment. But how often do we get caught on that idea of ourselves? right? And again, that's exactly what our relationship with reality is. And we can learn that in play. Play is one of the easiest places to fucking see that, because you're not playing as soon as you're making it about you. And you can feel the difference. Mm-hmm. You can feel the difference when it's about you, because then it's not about what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right? So yeah. If you're sensitive to that, that's your relationship with God. That really is. Like, that's it. You want to keep your relationship with the universe? You want to, you know, be part of Christ's ministry? Be yourself.
Yeah.
Be yourself, because that's all Jesus was saying, you know? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are the same I. You're the way, the truth, and the life. It's you. Love your neighbor as yourself, because they're you. You know, all of this is super clear, and yet somehow we're like, and therefore I need to save them. Who? You? You need to save you? Why do you need to save you outside of the fact that you keep assuming you're fucked? And that all comes down to your preferences and all the rules that you pile on and all the weight that you're carrying. It really does. It really does. And as long as you're carrying that weight, that's all you see. That's all you see. Everybody's suffering. Well, I'm okay. You're just not aware that you're suffering. You're like, whoa. I'm sorry. I will get to work on finding how I suffer. I'll come up with shit just to make you happy so I can get into heaven later. And that's really it. We trade heaven now for a fictitious heaven that never comes, and a life spent fearing death just in case we don't make it in.
Yeah. Oh, the amount of times I've heard that, oh, if I'm wrong, you know, and believing in heaven, living my life to get to heaven, if I'm wrong, then, you know, all I did was, you know, I'm in the same boat as you. But if you're wrong, you know, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. It's like, yeah, but at least I know I'm living this. At least I know I'm living right now, because there's no guarantee of anything beyond where we're at. You know, there's no guarantee of a continuation of life as you know it at all. No guarantee whatsoever, but, you know, we'll do things in order to maintain and try and maintain that. We'll tell ourselves certain stories, specific stories, different stories about, you know, who we are, how we're doing, and assumptions about, you know, oh, I can know how I'm doing right now. Like, I could have any idea how things are going right now and be so quick to assume that I do know exactly how things are going. And that's one of the biggest things that gets in the way of just seeing what's actually going on. And it's always this sort of narrative over top of what's happening. And like, there can be so many components of that narrative, and you kind of like whittle through them. Like, I don't keep in mind what day or what time it is as much, or what time of year or month, or any, even where I'm at location.
Made it to work this morning.
So much. Yes, we did. I do set alarms, lots of alarms. But, you know, because having some idea of that, they're all things to keep in mind. You know, we even say things like that, like things, oh, I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind. And that's all these things that we're trying to maintain because we think it's the right thing to do. We think we should be maintaining these ideas, these thoughts. But every single one is, you know, at least not cutting down, but has the potential to take my attention away from just where I'm at and expressing myself and not holding myself to a bar right now in any way, shape, or form, because I'm the one doing it. I'm the one continuing to hold that bar.
Yeah. Well, this is why. So we should make this announcement now, because we've actually got quite a few people in here. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow, on Monday, March 25th, we will be doing another marathon of Dualistic Unity. And we're doing this specifically to help out a group of young musicians who embody a lot of what we're talking about in terms of voluntarily putting in the time to be part of a group where they are deliberately challenging themselves to play professional level pieces because they want to. because they want to. And it's, and I know as being a parent to one of these kids, that it's not like they're not going through the, I can't do that, I can't play that, that's too hard for me. They're all going through that. They're doing it at home. They're doing it on their own. They're going into groups. They're getting to know each other, regardless of how different their lives must be. And they're literally embodying everything that we're talking about here, but they're so young, they're so deeply immersed in the teenage life at the moment that they don't even realize the value of how much they're putting into their life right now. They don't recognize how much of an impact and a ripple they will make. And of course, because it's part of the arts, it doesn't get a lot of recognition. I am amazed by the amount of people that I've talked to in Nanaimo as well as on the island as a whole who have never heard of them. And they're amazing. They just won a countrywide award for music. Like, how, what? Can you imagine like having like that kind of thing in your backyard? You don't even know it's there. So we are going to be doing a marathon for Fidelium tomorrow. We're going to be raising some money so that way we can help with raising awareness for them here on the island, helping to promote some of their music, helping to promote some of their upcoming events, and basically letting these kids know that it's not something that they currently feel is truly being recognized. They don't get big groups. They don't. Regardless of how skilled they are, they don't get big groups. And so they're really doing it for themselves. And isn't that the best reason to pack that fucking room? You know, so it can embody how full of themselves they're already feeling, how much they're already feeling whole when they're playing. And so we are going to do our best to make that a reality, and we would love for your help. So if you'd like to join us tomorrow, you can do so. twitch.tv/dualisticunity, YouTube Live, LinkedIn, X, Twitter, wherever you happen to be, you can watch this. And we're going to have them on the show for a little bit. We've got a group of four of the kids coming to play a piece live via Zoom. And then we've also got a chat scheduled with Trish and Jeff, I believe, later on that evening. And we're going to be playing some pieces of theirs. I've got a bunch of recordings from their most recent two concerts. Just incredible stuff. So if you can join us tomorrow, we'd really appreciate it. You don't have to donate if you can't, but if you can throw $5 or $10 towards these kids, it makes a huge difference in their life. And of course, in the lives of Trish and Jeff, who have spent almost 20 years building this basically on nothing, you know, just because they wanted to put in the time and they love seeing these kids grow. And so I can't imagine a better place for Dualistic Unity to put some attention. And again, there's no burden there. Fuck, there's nothing but reward here. Not only do we get to encourage these kids who are us, but we get to listen to some fucking incredible music.
Oh, yeah. Because, oh, my God. It's exciting to see just kids being involved in something like that and really being able to express himself. And as I've just relaxed more in my own life, I've gotten so much more of an appreciation for all of the ways that we have to express ourselves, and how, I mean, I'm not going to say it's like unfortunate, whatever, with society. It's just not a prioritization because everyone's trying to become something. Everyone's trying to be something. It's the reason that people don't sit down and take time to, you know, draw or play music or, you know, read a book that's not going to improve themselves. And by all those people, I mean myself throughout my life, all of the reasons that I didn't. And so as that, you know, as I think we all slow down, you know, and we can get more of an appreciation for just what life's about, you know, jumping into things, trying things, expressing yourself and finding ways to express yourself. It's like there's going to be more of an appreciation for everyone who's doing that, and just an appreciation for anyone who's doing that authentically and just being themselves. But it's just on us. It's just on each of us in ourselves. And it's not on, again, I say it's like on us to, you know, change the world. It's like there's nothing that's changing at all. It's just letting go of the weight, letting go of the idea that I ever have to live up to anything, that I have to be anything for anyone. And as we do that more and more, you know, those ways of expressing are, yeah, more fun and exciting. And so, yeah, with Fidelium, I too couldn't think of a better group to just be involved in. Not that we're, because we're just doing our thing. Like, we're just here, you know, talking, chatting, being ourselves. And so there isn't even a thought. It's not even a hesitation of like, you know, oh, well, is this a, how's this going to, you know, play into our profit margins for blah, 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 blah. It's like, this is something that we can do right now. And it's a cool thing. And we get to hear music. It's not like we're not, you know, getting stuff out of this too. It's like, it's just, yeah, we're just hanging out doing something because why not? So it's exciting because, yeah, those kids who are just willing to express themselves, it's cool to see.
It's amazing.
And Trish and Jeff fostering an environment like that, two people just doing it because they can and they see and appreciate that ability, you know, for people to just express. It's beautiful all around.
Well, especially given, like, you know, Trish's background with mm-hmm. learning music and having teachers that were egotistical and judgmental mm-hmm. and, you know, straight up, like, you know, you're a waste of skin for not being able to play to their standard. It's like, yeah. Holy shit. And so to see, you know, Trish being able to embody the very opposite of that mentality, to really just, you know, let these kids know, like, it doesn't matter how much, you're just putting it in, mm-hmm. putting it in. And that's the important part, you know, stuff like that. And then Jeff, who is mostly self-taught, knowing that these kids can do it, knowing without a doubt, like, it's one thing my daughter's often commented on, mm-hmm. that Jeff's often smirking. Yeah. And it's because he knows that we can push ourselves down. We can tell ourselves we can't do it. That's one of the things that's decidedly beautifully frustrating about the times that I've talked to Jeff in the past about wanting to learn music. And he's always just like, oh, it's just like, you know, 15 minutes a day. You know, just 15 minutes a day. Like, he makes it sound so annoyingly achievable, yeah. you know, and you're just like, you are ruining all of my justification yeah. to tell myself I can't do this. Yeah. And that's the point, you know, imagine being exposed to that as a 15 or a 16 year old kid.
To take that in for anything, because then it can, yeah, it translates into anything that you do, you know, oh, it's just some time and attention. I had this assumption most of my life that anything musical, rhythmic, you know, singing, dancing, any of that stuff, like, you're either, you can do it or you can't. You're born with it or you know, can't do it. Or you're good at it or you're bad at it. And that's just it. There wasn't a thought of being able to improve that. It's just, yeah, I really did. I've had this assumption that, like, you know, you kind of are who you are. You got what you got. And it's your sort of lot. And there's not an ability to improve. And so all you can do is do things that improve you instead of, or improve the idea of you, as opposed to doing things to improve just your experience without the thought of, like, how, what it means about you and what judgments you have about it. It's just jumping into new things and trying new things. But yeah, if you think that you can't improve at stuff, then you just kind of try and get by and experience a life that's just, you know, just okay enough, not really going outside of those, you know, that tunnel vision that you created about the right way to act, the right way to live, the right things to do, all that good stuff that are just, just things that are going on in your own head.
Oh man, this is going to be a great marathon tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. I love the fact that we can do this shit for mm-hmm. sure. It definitely, it adds something. But that said, there's a bunch of shit coming up with Dualistic Unity. I thought I should give some announcements. We just did our very first weed strain review.
Yes, we did.
On Friday. We did that for Ready Can Readies, sativa dominant pre-roll that you can buy here in Canada. I don't know if they also deliver to the States, but we did it. We had a whole day. We picked up 10 pack of these Readies, went on a hike, saw some deer, read some stuff about Archimedes screw, which is a very cool invention for bringing water vertically upwards. And then what else did we do?
We saw some deer.
We saw some deer. Yeah. We saw an otter mm-hmm. and a heron.
A big ant hill.
Yeah.
Oh, ant carrying up a big, big old stick. And then, yeah, when we got back, did some Wing Chun. That's been a lot of fun. Be able to get some practice in there. Yeah,
definitely been enjoying that a lot more.
The chain punching and whatnot. And then we watched Half Baked.
Yes, we did.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Great flick. Yeah, love that one.
Where in Jamaica are you from? Down by the beach, boy.
Yeah, it's just a great one, especially if you're a little bit baked.
That's great.
Oh, it's yeah, it was fucking awesome. So, yeah, all that said, ready can readies get you ready for anything. You can do anything.
Definitely worth
some,
it.
Yeah. A little bit of exercise, a little bit of chilling out, get a walk in.
Lots of walking. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes your whole experience a little more amplified and beautiful.
Well, that was the thing. Like, remember there was a point where we were walking away from one park to go towards another park, and we were walking past this, you could tell it was like retirement living. It was an old age community, that kind of thing. And we're walking past all these old people who are gathered at Smoker's Corner. I just love the fact that old people look a lot like teenagers. So they're all gathered together,
full circle,
having their smoke. Some of them got their walkers that they're sitting on, you know, they've learned how to do this thing in style. And we're walking by, and this lady looks up at me right as I'm walking by, and our faces just kind of connected. And it was like, hi. And I was just like very excited to see her. She gave the biggest smile. Yeah. And I just moved on. And it's just like right there, that's a moment where somebody genuinely just looked at you right in the face, and they were so excited to see you for just that one fleeting moment. They don't even know you, but that doesn't diminish any of their excitement in terms of seeing you and being grateful for this moment with them. And it's just, it's such a cool thing to be able to experience, because there's nothing forced about it, right? There's nothing forced about it. It's just the way I fucking live. Like, my life is light enough that it's very difficult for me to be upset about seeing anyone,
yeah,
you know, at all. And that includes people who piss me off. It's like, even that, there's almost this grudging, like, I don't want to have an issue with you, though. Yeah. Like, I just don't. And it's just because, why? For what reason? For some petty satisfaction so I can feel a little bit better by contrast? You know? Dear God, isn't that exactly what I'm afraid of from other people? You know, that they're judging me for what? For another, you know, feeling of validation through contrast to me. So now I'm on the other side of that spectrum, about to do that to someone else.
Doesn't make any sense. No. Why would I want to add that to anyone, you know, or expect anyone to, you know, see me in any certain way? And if you don't need that, then you can jump into, you know, say hey to anyone. It's like, yeah, if I'm afraid of you judging me, it's like that, you know, pre-judgment. It's like already judging everyone else for being judgmental. For, you know, whatever you do, whatever you express, or however you act. And yeah, it's like, damn, that's quite the assumption to think that they're going to have a thought, you know.
And that if they do, that it's personal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Instead of just their own stuff, you know, getting shown to them, and then assuming that, you know, someone else should act differently than they're acting is quite the assumption, you know, and to expect someone too, but
yeah. Well, if I do it, I think they do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's so funny. It's why people who tend to lie think everybody's lying to them.
Yeah. Really?
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they don't trust anybody, because they know what they would do. Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because all we know is our own experience, our own assumptions about things.
For sure. You know, we were talking about a girl that I know, who at one point was saying, like, you know, I don't want to get into anything with anyone because, you know, I'm worried they're just going to obsess over me. And all I hear is, you know, I tend to obsess over people obsessing over me, right? Like, I tend to think about what other people are thinking about me a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, that's really interesting, because it sounds like, you know, a lot of you that you're dealing with. And it always is, right? It's always us we're dealing with. We just don't look at it that way, and we don't want to look at it that way, because then that brings it home.
You want to assume that it's someone else, but then it's like our ability to just appreciate our experience as best we can isn't coming from ourselves so much. Because if it isn't on anyone else, or, you know, all of my assumptions about anyone else aren't the case, and I'm left with myself, at least there's the ability to live for myself, you know, and you feel a little bit more like, oh, I am alone, in the sense that I don't know any other judgments. I don't know anyone else's experience or what they're going through. And, like, you know, the guy Justin you go back and forth with, like, assuming everyone else is suffering, it's got to it's quite the assumption. Like, it still is.
Well, you experience pain, don't you?
Just an assumption, and it doesn't have to be suffering.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't have to be something that I assume that I shouldn't be experiencing or going through. And
because, you know, that's suffering.
Yeah.
You know, like me punching you in the arm is pain.
Uh-huh.
You going, oh, the world hates me. Yeah. You know, that's suffering.
Yeah.
You know, the, I can't take it. He hates me. He doesn't like me. Like, all of that stuff is just suffering. That's you just making it worse.
Yeah.
You know, but there's pain. And then there's the psychological suffering that goes with your opinion of that shit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And that's not really as relevant as we'd like to assume, but it is if you think that it is. And then you got to, you know, everything that comes with that. But it starts and ends with you, you know, your responsibility. It's just that response to whatever's going on, whatever situation is at hand. And, you know, if you think there's something painful about it, then it's overlaying some judgment that, again, is going to then need some sort of solution and resolution. And, you know, you just get further and further from, you know, being involved with where you're at, you know, paying attention where you're at and just expressing yourself as you are right now. But, you know, we can carry those things, those ideas, those expectations, those ideas of how things are going versus how things should be going, the idea of, you know, oh, the right life path. It's like, oh, I got to make sure I stay on that. It's like, which one exactly? And how much are you maintaining that idea of what that path should look like? Like, you've never known what it should look like ever. And so it can just be an expression of yourself the whole time, you know, as you're going through it. And then there isn't that additional, so much of that additional weight of like what I should be.
Yeah. So that all in mind, where we were going with this originally was that shit ton's happening with Dualistic Unity, being music, new weed reviews. We might be doing some Wing Chun stuff for our Patreon members. So just throwing that out there, as well as we've got another retreat coming up. We've got the California mini retreat coming up in, oh my God, it's got like 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
A little over 2 weeks, April 11th to April 15th. It's going to be near Big Bear Lake in California. You can join us right now. There's two tickets left. There's a single bunk and a king size bed on the top floor. This is going to be the dopest sleepover you've ever been to. So if you can make it, please do join us. I am very geared up for this. Not only that, but you'll actually get a chance to talk to Andrew and I, who will be incredibly excited about what we're going to be doing after the retreat, which is hanging around LA, doing some Dualistic Unity stuff. So if you can join us, please do use the coupon code BigBear150, all one word. So you can save $150 on this ticket, and you can use that in addition to your Patreon code. So if you are a tier 3, a tier 2, or a tier 1 supporter, there is a Patreon code already available for this retreat. You'll find the link on the listing. And then you can add those together. You can save up to $500 on this ticket. And that includes all your substances, all your food, and all your time with Andrew and I. We're going to go for walks. We're going to chill out. A lot of the things that you think this is about are going to just disappear, and you're going to end up just feeling like you can be yourself. So it's definitely worth joining us if you can. One last thing, though. This is only some of the stuff we're up to. You know, not only do we have all this going, but we also have the Colorado retreat coming up, and then we have a camping retreat that we're looking at doing this August. If you are interested in being part of Dualistic Unity, because we are in a serious expansion right now, if you would actually like to be a part owner and investor in Dualistic Unity, to actually have a percentage stake and to receive an ROI, a return of investment, over 5 to 7 years on whatever it is you invest, you can do that now. We are currently looking for investors. We have an investment presentation coming up in the very near future where we will give you all of the lowdown on what we're doing, all of the things that we have going on right now, all of the things that we see possibly happening in the future, and all of the things that are already underway. There's a lot. So if you would like to be part of that, if you would like to help push those roots a little deeper into the ground, and you have the financial ability to do so, check out the coupon code that's on the check out the QR code that's on the screen right now, or go to dualisticunity.com, and under the contact nav bar, you will find investor interest. Or just go to dualisticunity.com/invest. And it will take you to the form, and you can just let us know what it is that you might be able to invest. And more importantly, why you want to invest. Because we are not looking for somebody who's just like, I want to make income. I want to make more money. that can be a part of it, and you will. But the point is that, you know, there should be more to it than that. Because if that's your whole goal in this, if that's your only focus, then you're not going to have any fun with all the fun that we're having.
Yeah. So get involved, because this is going to be a fun ride. Very fun ride. I mean, I'm moving to Vancouver Island. We're now in person, which is a totally different and fun and exciting vibe, because we're hanging all the time. And so this, you know, hopping on here is just another conversation, and maybe, you know, mention more of the things going on, like the investor presentation, you know, like the retreat, California retreat, 2 tickets left.
The upcoming book.
Yeah. The book. Oh, there's a lot on the table, and there's a lot of energy coming in behind it and enthusiasm. So I'm fucking excited.
And because, and our partnership with Fidelio.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah. like we're going to have events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even being able to maybe even do some like mini concerts with them. And that can be a start of our, you know, music festival type situation. Imagine getting like Fidelium and some singers, and then karaoke hour in between, and some booths with, you know, cannabis vendors and shit. Yeah. It's what I'm saying is it's exciting, and I'm very excited.
Oh.
And there's a lot of good shit going on. So not something you're gonna wanna miss out on.
Oh, but it's lonely, Andrew. It's so hard. It's so hard to care. To care and to love. It's so hard.
It's too much sometimes. It's just too much. I can't quite take it. It's so brutal. It's so brutal.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a burden to see as I'm walking with this massive weight on my back.
Speaking of mountain. Which, we have another series that's in the works that we've been brainstorming, and it's going to be coming up in the near future. And it's going to be very much not inspired by this priest video, but certainly, you know, this priest video coming up was great timing, because we had been talking about this this idea for a couple of days. And this is just such a good reason why. Like, Andrew and I are going to get some priest costumes, and we're going to come up with some videos for social media that just kind of illustrate priests that are kind of coming to realizations, like, do you think we're making this harder than it needs to be?
Yeah.
Just
have you ever thought about what we're really doing this for? Is it for myself? Is it for heaven? I don't know. I haven't thought about it for a while. I've just kind of been on this track and assume this is just what I'm doing, but could I leave?
In thinking that we know more about God, are we being humble?
Yeah. Are we putting ourselves up on a pedestal, both physically and psychologically, every single week? Because, yeah, people seem to be excited to chat with me, but I don't really know much more about life than any of them. In fact, I actually know a lot less, because I've sheltered myself in this church for so long. Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Oh, fuck. You know, like a priest having a midlife crisis.
Right. All of a sudden he's throwing his collar into the wind, running down the field.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, say goodbye.
Stuff like that, though. It's going to be fun. And then, of course, we're going to have more people coming out this way at some point in the near future as well. And so Dualistic Unity is going to continue to expand. It's going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to embody everything we've been saying. Just a weightlessness. You know, there's no weight that we're trying to deal with in the world, because that just adds to it. We're just the world, you know, take the weight off and change is, you know, but as long as you're holding on to that weight, the only change you're looking at is that, mm-hmm. You know, you're limiting that change. You're cherry picking that change. You're fearing some of that change instead of just being that change, you know, actually having faith and letting go. And that's really the true ministry of God. It has nothing to do with ministering anyone, and everything to do with just being what you are.
Exactly. It's not about even sharing any sort of message or expressing anything in any way. It's just expressing yourself, being yourself, it coming from you, you know, not trying to follow this set trajectory of, you know, the right way to be. No, what's the right way to be, you know, at peace? What's the right way to express myself? It's like, I cannot tell you. And as soon as there's any idea of what that means for myself, it's not it. So how could I possibly share that with anyone besides just being it? So Yeah, this is this has been a lot of fun. We are going to be on Patreon in 15 minutes for tier two and then a tier three group. So the tier three groups aren't recorded. So those are always a lot of fun. Just a little more of a casual conversation like they all are. And just a blast to connect and chat with a bunch of myself.
Yeah. And that said, though, the tier three groups aren't recorded, but the tier one and tier two groups are recorded, and we've been actually getting back to pasting some of the posting some of those archived videos back to Patreon, so you can see groups all the way back to the beginning of Dualistic Unity. If you would like to go to patreon.com/dualisticunity, there's that like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations and insights that have never seen the podcast. So definitely worth checking out. We will see you all in about 15 minutes.
Bye, everyone.